Chain Reaction by Darren Goldsmith. The doctor sat outside, cross-legged, with his back against the shopping centre wall, squinting along his finger and thumb, cocked like a pistol. He lined up on a section of the splotched paving where a pigeon was standing, regarding him curiously, its neck bobbing.
"Fortune favours the brave,"
he muttered to himself. Pinched, edge on, between the finger and thumb of his other hand, he held a pound coin. He glanced upwards. A large, ornate clock, protruding from high up the wall, read 17 minutes past noon. Palm up, he drew back his arm and prepared to roll the coin.
3, 2, 1, now.
At the very moment he let go, the careful action was ruined by someone speaking.
"Are you all right, sir?"
The doctor started, his arm jerking. He whipped his head up and left to face the intrusive questioner, a skinny, middle-aged man in an ill-fitting blue uniform. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the pigeon strut casually away before the erroneously rolling coin could get anywhere close.
"What? Oh, confound it, man, don't I look all right?"
He raised an eyebrow.
"Hmm?"
Dennis Brown, part-time security for the centre, frowned, carefully considering his next move. He was relatively new to the job, but he'd seen this sort before. They'd shout nonsense, answer with questions, or ask you for some money for a drink. This one was definitely Category 2.
"Hey, I'm sorry, sir. You were talking to yourself and trying to, shoot that pigeon. And here you are, sitting on the floor in this heat with a coat and a hat."
Chain Reaction by Darren Goldsmith. The doctor sat outside, cross-legged, with his back against the shopping centre wall, squinting along his finger and thumb, cocked like a pistol. He lined up on a section of the splotched paving where a pigeon was standing, regarding him curiously, its neck bobbing.
"Fortune favours the brave,"
he muttered to himself. Pinched, edge on, between the finger and thumb of his other hand, he held a pound coin. He glanced upwards. A large, ornate clock, protruding from high up the wall, read 17 minutes past noon. Palm up, he drew back his arm and prepared to roll the coin.
3, 2, 1, now.
At the very moment he let go, the careful action was ruined by someone speaking.
"Are you all right, sir?"
The doctor started, his arm jerking. He whipped his head up and left to face the intrusive questioner, a skinny, middle-aged man in an ill-fitting blue uniform. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the pigeon strut casually away before the erroneously rolling coin could get anywhere close.
"What? Oh, confound it, man, don't I look all right?"
He raised an eyebrow.
"Hmm?"
Dennis Brown, part-time security for the centre, frowned, carefully considering his next move. He was relatively new to the job, but he'd seen this sort before. They'd shout nonsense, answer with questions, or ask you for some money for a drink. This one was definitely Category 2.
"Hey, I'm sorry, sir. You were talking to yourself and trying to, shoot that pigeon. And here you are, sitting on the floor in this heat with a coat and a hat and a scarf."
The doctor nodded, waved his still cocked hand at the cloudless blue sky, turned on a 1,000-watt grin.
"Ah, yes, a wonderful English summer, eh?"
Glancing back at his coin, he watched it wobble behind a concrete planter brimming with colourful flowers. His grin faded. He looked further down and along the shopping centre wall to a man on a small scaffold painting a shop fascia.
"Oh dear, this is not right at all."
A female cyclist crossed the road, heading for the scaffold. Just as she wheeled past, the man stepped back to admire his handiwork and kicked over an open can of premium gloss. The cyclist screamed, skidding to a halt as white paint splashed her from head to foot. The doctor winced, pointed.
"You see that, man? Do you see what you've done?"
Dennis regarded the scene. The painter and cyclist now in furious debate. A small crowd had gathered to watch the fun. He said.
Ah. Oh, look. Hey, you'd better get over there.
He started to back away.
It might be a good idea for you to get out of the sun and make sure you drink plenty of fluids.
Dennis turned and jogged over to the scaffolding. He thought about that last piece of advice and hoped he hadn't misjudged the poor chap as a Category 3. The large, ugly clock, protruding from high up the shopping centre wall, read almost 17 minutes past 12. The August sun stomped down from a cloudless sky, making the doctor uncomfortable as he sat on the paving, back against the wall, preparing to roll a pound coin in his hand towards a rather nervous-looking pigeon. With one more glance at the clock, the doctor carefully released the coin, at the same time speaking aloud,
"Thank you, Mr. Security Guard. I feel perfectly fine. Aha!"
The doctor looked up and to the left, grinning, but there was no one there. He looked to the right, frowning. Nothing.
Very curious.
He snatched his head back to check the rolling coin. This time, it followed the perfect trajectory across the shopping centre concourse, aiming straight for the pigeon, which promptly took off when the coin nudged its toe, flapping up into the face of a young teenager who was walking to the centre's entrance. The teenager, oblivious to anything except the music pumping into his ears via an MP3 player, waved his arms, startled, and sidestepped to avoid the indignant bird, promptly treading on the now stationary coin. He looked down, grinned, and bent to pick it up. The doctor, observing keenly from his seated position against the wall, murmured to himself,
"Ah, excellent. Good boy."
A few paces across from the teenager, an overweight businessman bumbled along in a rumpled suit. He was clearly in a hurry, not paying attention, sipping from a large cup of steaming coffee and snatching worried glances at his folded broadsheet. Not surprisingly, he failed to see the crouched figure and collided, rolling over the teenager's back and landing in an undignified heap on the floor, spilling his drink and dropping his newspaper, which opened out, pages fluttering. The doctor chuckled.
"Whoops! Another latte to go, please."
The teen yelled in surprise and straightened, fumbling the pound coin which fell onto the open newspaper. The businessman also yelled. He yelled a lot. He folded his paper and struggled to get up. Once on his feet, the man continued to berate the teenager, who looked confused and shrugged, unable to hear the incensed diatribe because he was still firmly plugged into his MP3 player. The businessman gestured with his paper, prodding and waving it as he shouted. As a result of one wide sweep, the pound coin nestled in the crease of the newspaper whizzed out, pinging into the spokes of a woman's bicycle some 10 meters away. She braked, puzzled, and examined her wheels and chain. The doctor beamed.
"Perfect. Good shot, sir. Now, the painter."
He looked over to the scaffold further down the wall. A few seconds later, the workman in question stepped back to admire his work and kicked over a can of paint. White gloss splashed over the metal tubing of the scaffold and down to the floor. The doctor nodded. He reached around his neck, unraveled the end of his scarf, and proceeded to undo one of three knots tied there.
"One,"
he said. Meanwhile, the woman cyclist had spotted the pound coin lying on the edge of the delivery bay. She backed off the concourse, into the road, and dismounted. Before she could bend down, a small white van, emblazoned with the logo Sam Sandwiches, pulled up close and pipped its horn twice. The woman jumped, looked up, and made apologetic gestures to the driver. She scrambled back on her bike, waved again at the driver, and pedaled away. She passed by the scaffold further down, neatly dodging the spilled paint. The driver of the van pulled into the lay-by, his near side back tire coming to rest on the coin. The doctor watched all of this, smiling. The van driver, a young man in his 20s, jumped out and ran to the back of the van, wrestling out a large box of sandwiches. Across the road, outside an office block, a pretty girl with dark hair was taking money from her purse. She noticed the driver, but quickly turned to feed a parking meter before he saw her looking.
"Okay, Sam, your turn,"
the doctor muttered, holding the second knot tied in the end of his scarf. As Sam crossed the road and hurried by the pretty girl, carrying his box into the office block, he beamed at her and said,
"Hello."
She smiled back, blushing, and missed the meter completely, dropping her pound coin. She saw it rolling onto the road.
"Attaboy,"
the doctor said, grinning. Just then, a herd of baying schoolchildren, followed by a harassed-looking teacher, pushed past the girl and ran across the road, despite the teacher yelling at them to wait. They kicked her coin, propelling it with greater velocity further down the street in the direction of a builder's trench. The girl missed all of this, thinking it had rolled under the sandwich van. She was bending down, trying to see if she could find it when Sam came back. He greeted her again and she stood, blushing once more. She tried to explain and they both ended up laughing. The doctor untied the second knot.
"Two,"
he said, leaving them both to it and turning his attention to the still rolling coin, now almost at the builder's trench. As it dropped over the lip of the hole, a man, digging away inside, slung his spade over his shoulder, catching the coin and batting it upwards into the air. It landed inside the opening of a long plastic pipe, just as another builder was hauling that pipe up the wall of the shopping centre on a winch. The pipe itself was not tied perfectly straight and sloped downwards, back in the direction of the doctor. The coin slowly started to roll towards the other open end, gradually gaining momentum. The doctor stood up now and moved away from the wall in order to watch the distant proceedings. He was holding on to the third and final knot tied in the end of his scarf.
"Okay, good. What we need now is... Oh, no."
He stared, dumbfounded, as the unprepossessing figure of security guard Dennis Brown rounded the corner of the shopping centre near to the builders. He was ambling, hands behind his back, his hourly patrol of the surrounding shops and office blocks, when he spotted some discarded cups and empty food wrappers left by the builders. He picked up the litter and started chatting to the man winching the pipe. The doctor couldn't hear what they were saying, but it didn't appear to end well, the man turning away in annoyance to continue with his task. The pound coin fell out of the tube a few seconds later into a turning cement mixer. The doctor sighed and let go of the third knot in his scarf. He took off his hat, wiped his brow, and stared up into the blue sky.
"Ah, I see. Test me, would you?"
He received a few odd looks from passers-by, but he was used to that. The pigeon stood still, curious to know whether the object rolling towards it was edible or not, right up to the point the coin ran onto its toe. Startled, it flew up into a teenage boy's face. He warded off the bird, then bent down to pick up the coin. A businessman, who wasn't paying attention, fell over him and the coin ended up inside the man's newspaper, which, once the man was back on his feet, was waved around, accompanied by a lot of yelling, in order to demonstrate just how little he liked being part of a routine normally played out by circus clowns. The coin was subsequently slung from the newspaper into the spokes of a woman's bicycle. The doctor took in the series of unfolding events, ticking them off on his fingers. The cyclist tried, but failed, in her attempt to retrieve the coin from the road because Sam needed to park in the lay-by, the van coming to rest right on top of the coin itself. She rode off, veering round some spilled paint by a scaffold. Sam flustered a pretty girl, who then dropped her own coin as she was feeding a parking meter. Stampeding schoolchildren kicked it down the street while the girl searched where she thought it had landed, under Sam's sandwich van. After Sam and the girl, who was called Emma, had exchanged numbers and planned a first date in the local Italian restaurant, Sam drove off and Emma did, indeed, find a pound coin by the side of the road, although it wasn't technically hers.
"Two,"
the doctor said, untying the second knot in his scarf. The builder in the trench batted the girl's coin with his spade, on cue, and it landed in the opening of a pipe being hauled lopsidedly up the side of the shopping centre. The coin rolled down the long extrusion, picking up speed. Security guard Dennis Brown made no appearance. There was no litter to pick up. The doctor had seen to that. The pipe was high in the air when the coin reached the other end. It flew out, describing a wide arc, and landed on a market stall awning, which it rolled down at great speed and then flipped off, through the air once more, into the stall selling sweets opposite, straight into the open cash register as the owner served a customer. Startled, the owner bumped into his side table, which caused a wrapped paper bag of sweets to fall, unnoticed, into a passing woman's bag. The woman in question walked by the doctor, now sitting back down on the floor where he had first rolled the coin. He deftly picked out the sweets from her bag, pocketed them, and doffed his hat.
Aha! Fortune favours the wily. Bought and paid for, madam.
He reached for the third knot on the end of his scarf and untied it.
Are you all right, sir?
Security guard Dennis Brown inquired. The doctor looked up and to the left, grinning.
Ah, my man. I couldn't be better. How are you?
He stood, grabbed Dennis's hand, and shook it vigorously. Dennis reclaimed his hand and backed away. He'd heard about this sort, the ones who pretend you're old friends. A rare category 4.
You're quite remarkable, you know that,
the doctor said, pointing at Dennis.
Couldn't work it out at first. Apart from the 2 coins, everything should have been fixed in space-time. But you weren't. And that's a very unusual ability. A floating noodle. That's you. Aside from Time Lords, it's incredibly rare. Only about 50 known entities in the universe.
Dennis didn't have a clue what the poor chap was talking about. But he had been taught to nod and smile in order not to provoke rage or paranoia.
Bit of a nuisance, really,
the doctor continued.
Unless trained, of course.
He grinned again, thumping Dennis's shoulder.
Ah, well, stay out of trouble, or complex situations, and you'll be fine, eh? Are you in trouble, Doctor?
Sarah Jane inquired, staring at the security guard as she appeared behind them.
Hello, Sarah,
the doctor replied.
Not at all. I was just telling Dennis here what an amazing person he is. Almost immune to time.
He smiled at her.
How did you get on?
The doctor took Sarah by the arm and walked her away from the thoroughly confused guard.
So you weren't bored then, Doctor?
Sarah Jane asked.
No, no,
he replied.
I kept myself amused.
He pulled the wrapped paper packet of sweets from his pocket.
Jelly, baby?